Life lessons. How do you learn? There are a lot of different learning styles. Some people are tactile, or, you know, they're kinesthetic, touchy, feely kind of learners. Some are auditory learners. I learn best by listening, is some people's perspective. Some are visual learners. How many are tactile learners? Usually we're a combination. How many are visual learners? You like to see it, and then you can see it happen. And how many just like to listen? You're auditory learners. Best. At least four of you. I'm so glad you're sitting through the message this morning. We find, as you've attended here, we try to incorporate all the different styles into the presentations. Why we use overheads, we sing the songs, we rehearse the word of the Lord, have opportunity for people to share. It's not just a Greek format. You know, from the Greeks, we got that lecture style. And we don't just have a lecture style of congregation here. We try to be interactive. So you have opportunity to participate. As the river of God is flowing, He wants us to jump into the river. How many river jumpers we got here this morning? Lord, I want to be where You're moving. I want to be in the river of God. And whatever You're doing, oh God, I want to be in what You're doing. You go to the book of Revelation, you find out about the river of God, that there are trees on either side, and in the midst of it, the river of life and the tree of life, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. How many know that healing is in God's plan? You've heard about it all morning this morning, but life lessons. And Jesus had certain disciples, and He taught differently with different ones of them. How many ever felt like you're a little more like Peter? Sometimes hard of hearing, hard to learn. And so Peter's trapped by this guy who says, "Don't you pay taxes?" And Peter goes, yes, of course we do. And Jesus looks at him later and says, "You know, why did you say that? It's my Father's house." Well, okay. So He teaches him a lesson he'll never forget. He says, "Go down to the shore, catch a fish, and in the fish's mouth you'll find a what?" How many remember the story? A coin. Pay the taxes from that. Now, how many know Jesus could have just turned to Judas, who had the money bag, and said, "Give him a coin, go pay the tax." But He didn't do that. He taught him something that would last forever. And we're going to take a trip with Jesus this morning. We're walking on a road with Jesus and His disciples. And now remember, we're coming to Jerusalem, where He's meeting the cross. As the Lamb of God, He will shortly be impaled upon a cross. He will die, be buried, and rose again, and rise again. But He's got so much to teach. He's got His disciples. He's hung around these guys three and a half years now. And you know, He's on His way walking down the road. We've talked about it before. And he's saying, "Guys, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested." And they nearly interrupt Him with this question. I mean, you would think the question would be, "Lord, how could that happen? When's it going to happen?" But the question is, who's going to be the greatest, Him or me? And I'm sure in Jesus' heart, He must have been thinking, "Are they ever going to get this?" So this morning, we're going to look at how He gives a few more life lessons that are so hard to miss unless our heart and eyes are closed and blind. Teach us, Lord. You know, it said we learn 20% of what we hear, 50% of what we hear and see, 70% of what we hear, see, and say, but 90% of what we hear, see, say, and do. And so what we are trying to learn and grow in is, "God, give me the fullest application of Your word in my life, and Your river in my soul, so that I might be the most conformed to Your image, because I want to hold on to the life lessons." Jesus deals with legalism. He's going to deal this morning with legalism. We're going to Luke. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 11, if you have it on your tablet, on your phone, in your hard copy Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there are some at the back table. I know there will be others right around you. If you'll slip up your hand, we'd be happy to get a Bible for you. And so Jesus deals with legalism this morning. The first five verses of Luke chapter 11, he is queried by people standing around him. They're pumping, if you will, the master, the teacher, with questions. And the questions in this particular passage go along with, Lord, there were people that were slaughtered. They were worshiping. They were sacrificing. And they were slaughtered by Pilate. And their blood was mingled with other sacrifices. Pilate did that. And it was a horrible thing. But what did they do wrong, Lord? How many ever have given yourself to a thinking process that says, if something wrong happens, it must be because I did something wrong? Come on, two or three or more. I think every now and then to myself, if something wrong happens, I must have done something. Now, it's not wrong to have a tender heart before the Lord and ask Him, Jesus, if there's something you're trying to say to me, let me hear it. Say it to me. Show me. Open my ears to hear, my heart to respond. But the devil loves to throw in a spirit of condemnation on God's people and say, this is all your fault. You're wrong. You're not forgiven. You're not clean. And so your whole world's fallen apart. Somebody say, oh no, or oh my. And Lord, not only this slaughtering by Pilate, but there was a wall in Galilee area, and it fell on 18 people, and it killed them. So, Lord, they were sinners, right? That must have only happened because they were sinners, right? And Jesus says no, but he also said something powerful. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. If you don't walk ready with God, our end could come at any moment. If you aren't right with God, and it's only a moment away to get right with Him, to say, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to you, Lord. If you don't know where you're going, if you died today, you need to get right with God and come give your life to Jesus. You got all sorts of people here who love to pray with you. But the issue is, if I don't know if I'm right, I better get right. And Jesus is saying, guys, you better be right, because something might also happen to you. You better be ready. You understand, legalism bears no good fruit. I'm going to say it again. Legalism bears no good fruit. You better do it my way. You better do it this way. God can't do that for you because you're a sinner. And Jesus is saying, hang on, I'll do anything I want. And especially I want to love people and bring them to myself. Is it repentance that's important? It's crucial. Yes, of course. Jesus, save me. I repent. I turn away from that sin. But God loves people. And He wants to reach out with His presence and grace. But legalism bears no good fruit. So he tells a story about a fruitless tree. A fruitless tree. A certain man had a fig tree, and he's been checking on this tree for 3 years. And there's no fruit on the tree. And the owner gets really upset, and he says, cut that thing down. It's been barren. By the way, if it has been barren for 3 years, it's probably not going to bear fruit. So cut it down. Let's make room in the garden for something that's going to bear fruit. But the particular gardener that day says, Lord, have mercy and grace. Give me another season, another year, and let's see if I can get it to bear fruit. By the way, Jesus had walked with the people looking for fruit in Israel for how long by now? 3 years. And judgment would say, cut it down. But Jesus came to bear that judgment. And he says, Lord, let's see if we can change this to bring some fruit from their lives. Now he shows them exactly what he taught them. So he's taught them. He uses a picture to teach them something. And he's dealing with a spirit of legalism that says, cut it down. And now we're going to see if there's any fruit on the tree. Go to verses 10 through 13. Now we're going to talk about the woman with the infirmity for how long?
18 years.
How long, gang?
18
18 years. Want to talk about being surprised by grace? Want to be surprised by grace? How about you? How many want the river of God to flow in your life and surprise you with His grace today? The Lord can do above and beyond all that you ask or think. God can do something, and He wants to do something for you and me today. He doesn't want you to leave this place without allowing His river to flow in your life and mine. Surprised by grace. Verses 10 through 13, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your what? From your what? You are what? Loosed from your infirmity." And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. How long did it take? Immediately. Come on, church, talk to me this morning. How long did it take? It was immediate. Immediately, she was set free. She was made straight and glorified God. Now, the word infirmity means feebleness of body or mind. It was a malady, if you will, even a moral frailty. The word refers to disease. It refers to infirmity, sickness, weakness. She absolutely could not raise herself up. When people try to reform themselves without Jesus in their lives, maybe you've been a drunkard, maybe you've been a drug taker, maybe you've been a thief, maybe you've had all sorts of wrong things happen in your life, but if you simply try to reform yourself, you will not be able to raise yourself up, just like the woman bent over for 18 years. She had an infirmity, she had an affliction, something that forced her into that frozen position, arthritically, if you will. And God comes and says, I love you so much, why don't you give your life to me and I'll change you, I'll heal you. And we say, no, I'll do this myself. But you can't. You can't make yourself righteous. Because, see, if you try to earn your way to salvation, you're going to slip up somewhere. I'd like to see the show of hands by every person that perfected yourself in this room. You're perfect now, forever. And I'd like to invite you to come up and repent at the altar with me. But we can't. But the good news is that Jesus did. Yes. Jesus did it. So you don't have to. That whip at your back that condemns and chides, says you're awful. Jesus took the whip out of the devil's hand, snapped it at the devil, and sent him fleeing. Amen. And saves you and me by His grace.
Good word. Yes.
By His grace. It took a Jesus intervention. I got to ask you again. In your life this morning, have you allowed a Jesus intervention? Mm-hmm. Have you had a Jesus intervention in your life? Mm-hmm. You can't free yourself. He knows you and sees you. And wants to free you and me. By the way, how many know the number 18 in the Bible is significant? There are certain numbers in the Bible that actually have some sense of meaning to them. And some say the number 18, though a little more obscure, not the one we quote, the number 18 refers to the number of bondage. It is 6 plus 6 plus 6, which is the number of 666, or the number of man. But there's bondage because in the Old Testament, some of the enemies overran Israel and held them in bondage for 18 years. But Jesus comes in the New Testament. He says, what used to be used for bondage, by my grace, by my blood, by the river of God, I turn it into a redemption moment. And I'm the God who redeems you and you're free from bondage. Thank God. To be loosed. What does it mean, woman? You're loosed. It means to free her fully. She was fully free, not just partial, but that thing which was binding her up and keeping her bound was dismissed, was pardoned. He let it die. It was a divorce, if you will. And Jesus separates your sin from you as far as the east is from, the east is from the west. Right? No, opposite. The west is from the east.
That's right.
I'm just doing this naturally here. But the east from the west He separates your sin from you and me right into the sea of forgetfulness. When you try to retrieve them, God doesn't. They're already forgotten. Come on, that should give a rise to somebody to say, thank God. Your sins are forgotten. Turn to each other and say, your sins are forgotten by the grace of Jesus. The compassion and the passion of Jesus for his people is literally remarkable. And it is never too late to be surprised by grace. Say that with me. Surprised by grace. Number two, stung by grace. What? Stung by grace. Stung by grace. I wonder who was stung by the grace that Jesus just exhibited. In Luke 13, verse 14, Luke 13, verse 14 tells us, but the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He didn't like that grace. He didn't like that exhibition of the power of God. He didn't want the river of God flowing in his church. Come on, church. I want the flowing of the river of God in this place, don't you? But he didn't want it in his place. So if you say to God, I don't want your river flowing in my life. I don't want the Holy Spirit involved in my life. I don't want you involved in my church. I'm sure he's willing to be compliant. But that is the opposite of what God's people should want. Amen. God does more than we ask or think. Sometimes he takes you by surprise. How many have ever been surprised by God? Has he ever done anything more than you understood? I used to have people say to me, don't you know the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, which is so biblical, so beautiful, so precious, so available to everybody. Don't you know people don't like that? Don't you know? Don't you know people get all uptight about that? And some people sit and they take pot shots and they go, that ain't real, that's not real. And then God takes them by surprise. Because it is real. But what it takes is finding it in the Word and saying, okay, Jesus, if it's in the Word, I want it in me. I want you involved in my life. I don't want to say no to your Spirit. So this morning, would you raise both your hands and say, Lord, I say yes to you. Come on. Lord, I say yes to you. Take me by surprise, Lord. Take me by surprise, because I want you to see what happened to the person who said no. The person who said no. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. You would think this guy saw miracles every day, day in, day out. Come back on Tuesday to do this. Thank you very much. But the miracle of God flowed. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. How many know there are 7 days on which God gets to work? There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Can I ask you a question? What's especially the right day for God's people to be met by God? Any day. But especially in their perspective, the Sabbath day of any of the days was the day when God should have been able to come freely and meet with his people. You know, remember Jesus cast the money changers out. You remember why he cast the money changers out of the outer court of the temple? That's where people were supposed to be able to come in and pray and meet with God and get right with God. And they had it so loaded up with merchandise that they couldn't even get in. And Jesus says, hey, this is all about God and his people meeting together. Church, isn't that what church is supposed to be? Where we come on this gathering together and we go, wow, I want the river of God today. How about you? Man, I'm sensing a trickling here on my dried earth. How about you? Oh, no, I got a river today. But as we say yes, the Holy Spirit begins to flow. And this man said, no, come back another day. He was stung. His legalism was stung by grace because he didn't get to receive it, did he? If I were to say to you, describe that elephant over there in the corner, how many know we'd probably get a lot of different stories depending on what angle you were seeing it from? You saw it from its trunk, you'd describe it one way. See it from the side, describe it another way. See it from behind, we won't go there. Anyway, different perspectives, you might see it differently. Grace is poured out from the heart of Jesus, and he'll pour out and meet you differently than he might meet Victor, Mark, and Marilyn. He might meet you in a different way than he's meeting Jim this morning. But if we say yes to the river of God, he can do whatever he wants in your life. And he knows exactly what your need is here today. And Jesus is committed enough to you and to me that he is saying to you, I love you too much to let you alone. You might go home this morning, look at each other and say, boy, he was really messing with us. And the right answer is, no, the Holy Spirit was. The Holy Spirit has so much that he wants to do this morning. How many of you need healing in your body? Maybe need a touch of the Spirit of God in your thinking. Maybe need a miracle of God in your circumstances. And Steve, one of the most beautiful testimonies I've heard in a long time is the miraculous restoration of God with a daughter to whom you haven't spoken for a dozen years. Look at what God can do. Church, I said, look what God can do. Do you want him to do it for you? I don't want to be stung by grace. I don't want Jesus to walk out of the meeting and say, well, guess they didn't want my river this morning. No, I want to say all the time, Lord, you're welcome here, please. It's your meeting. You do what you want to do, Lord. And number three, stunned and amazed by grace. Wouldn't you rather be stunned and amazed by grace? Look what God can do. He can do anything. Turn to each other and say, God can do anything for you. Come on, say it again to somebody on the other side of you. God can do anything for you. What happened? What happened? Take a look at verse 17 when he said these things. Well, I think, let's see. Let me finish that verse 15 and 16, because I read verse 14, stung by grace. So I'm going to go back a little. The director of the service didn't want God to do what God wanted to do. In Luke 13, 15 through 16, Jesus answers him and says, hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, please read it out loud with me, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. The answer is, church, yes. Hypocrite literally in the Greek means an actor. An actor. He was an actor on the stage, that ruler. He was acting the part of the spiritual man of God. The reality is, we need to always be those who say, yes, Lord. Do what you want to do. Grace is poured out in Jesus. Let's always welcome his grace. So now number three, stunned and amazed by grace. Thank you, Pat. Verse 17, when he said these things, all his adversaries were, say it with me, declare it with me, put to shame. The devil wants to bind you up. The devil wants to hinder you from growing in Jesus. The devil wants to hold your eyes blind, and the devil wants to keep you from an intimate, passionate, personal relationship with Jesus who loves you to the core. That's true. And Jesus puts every adversary to shame. Jesus does it. And then what happened? All the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. The party was on because they let God do what God wanted to do, and they celebrated in the presence of God, and they cheered. Man, we've never seen it like this. Oh, God, do what only you can do. Do it. We let you loose. Let the river flow. Wow. And there was healing and restoration and miracles and promises of God that were fulfilled in every life because they said yes to Jesus. Can you say yes to Jesus? The room broke out in joy. Now, the question that I have for you then is, what are you going to do with all this? Recognize that every day we have a choice. Jesus is moving to heal you from every infirmity. Right now, Jesus is here. And he wants to heal you from every infirmity. If there's shame, condemnation, be gone in Jesus' name, shame and condemnation. You have no place in the river of God. Infirmity of health, be loosed in Jesus' name, people. Bound in sin, be freed in Jesus' name. As we gather, we learn. But it's all far more than academic. This is where we live every single day. Are you willing to step out of the boat this morning and say yes to Jesus? Are you willing, if you have a need in your life, to stand before the Lord right now? Because that's what God is asking. If you want to be met by God, stand before the Lord right now. Go ahead and stand before the Lord because he wants to do something for you. Now I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, and I'm going to ask you to believe God for a fresh visitation and a move in your life today. There are some of you in this room, I know the Holy Spirit has revealed, there are some of you who are living in a mental fog. And Jesus says, I bind that fog that is rebuked right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, can you receive his delivering power? Right now, that's gone in the name of Jesus. Mental clarity, thoughts that are clear, and thoughts of the Lord to drop into your heart, into your spirit. There are some right now that you're experiencing pains, and those pains have created fear in your life. And the Bible tells us fear has torment, and Jesus delivers his people from torment. Be delivered now in the name of Jesus. Right now, if that's you, raise your hands and say, Lord, I receive you. I receive you, Lord. I receive your power. I receive your healing from every bit of pain. I receive your deliverance. And devil, you have no place here in the name of Jesus. We cast you out in the name of the Lord. There are some in this room who have been tormented by the devil, and you've yielded yourself to sin that you don't even want anybody else to know of, or there's temptation that plagues you and you don't even want to give voice to it. And Jesus is setting you free right now in the name of Jesus. Devil, you are rebuked. We claim the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus that breaks every chain, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you now. Now just begin to thank him. Thank him for meeting you in a powerful way this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. And thank you, Lord, we believe you this morning. Lord Jesus, say it with me. Lord Jesus, I am set free this morning. I'm free from turmoil. I'm free from fear. I'm free from pain. I'm free from hidden works of darkness. And the light of Jesus burst freely forth in my life. I receive your freedom right now, Lord. Men and women of God, you are loosed by the Spirit of the Lord this morning. You are loosed and free in Jesus this morning. Jesus, I receive you. Jesus, I choose to believe you. Say it with me. Jesus, I choose to believe you. I choose to be surprised and amazed by your grace today. I receive you, Jesus, my Lord, and I thank you. Come on, give him praise, church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as you go from this place this morning, we linger in the presence of God and we take time. But as you go from this place into this week, the Lord is with you. The Lord is your deliverer, your strength, your life. And that river of God doesn't stop when you step out of the building. You carry the river of God with you. And everybody that comes into close proximity of you should see the glow and receive the refreshing rains and river of the presence of God. And you can be amazed by His grace every single day. Can you say, Jesus, I know you love me. And as we go from this place, I will be surprised by grace. Thank you, Lord, for your precious people in this room. Musicians, if you'll come. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God who does all things well. And this morning, Lord, we know that the river is here. And we thank you, Jesus, as we go with life, encouragement, healing, power, and your presence. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
You're really sure?
Yes.
Amen.